was loud enough to send everybody in from outside. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that was good. Welcome to church this great, beautiful day. My name, for those of you that don't know me, is Marcia Custer, and I've been a member of this church for several decades, and currently I serve as the coordinator of the Caring Committee. In this pulpit this morning, we have Cheryl Tucker, whom you will hear from later. You are all invited to stay following the worship service for fellowship conversation and refreshments in the fellowship room, which most of you know is behind me through these double doors. If you are a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first time, you'll consider entering your name on a visitor's card, which is found in the back of the hymnal. There's a little pocket in the back of your hymnal. And if you do this, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months so that you can know what the activities and events that are happening and the kind of things that go on in this church. If you would like to learn more about the church or about Unitarian Universalism, there are some displays in our fellowship hall, which are just behind me, as I mentioned, and you are welcome to take freely of them and browse them at home at your leisure. So take a minute. I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, and especially look for faces that you don't know. You can finish your conversations in the fellowship hall during our fellowship hour and get to know a few more names. If you have an announcement for the good of the church, please come to the front of the room and adjust the speaker so that you can be heard. And tell if you have an announcement, please come.
Hello, I'm Mommy Heber. Last time you're going to see me for a couple of weeks. I wanted to thank everybody who made donations of toiletries and t-shirts and money for my mission trip to Guatemala. We had packing day a couple of weeks ago, and we packed over 35 suitcases full of stuff that we're going to be bringing down to the orphanage and everything else. So we got a lot of stuff in front of us and a lot of fun that we're going to have. And since today's my last day, we're leaving on Friday. If there's anybody that wants to make any donations to the water filtration system they have down there, they can just make a check to the Ketchy Partners, and I'll make sure that Father Dan gets it so that they can get some water filtration systems for the schools down there. Okay? Keep me in your thoughts and prayers. And I'll be gone for the next couple of weeks. Thanks.
Thanks, Mona. If there's no more announcements, I invite you to move to the microphone and briefly share any joys or milestones you may bring with you this morning to church that we'll have a time a little bit later where we can share concerns and sorrows if you bring those as well.
I'm Mary Johnson, and we had an enjoyable 10 days with our grandson Benjamin, part of an intergenerational road scholar trip to Newport News, Virginia, and we learned about fins, furs, feathers, and claws. He learned how to seine in the Chesapeake Bay and did all sorts of interesting things, as well as we visited our son in Maryland.
Wow. Thank you, Mary. The prelude begins our worship service as Benjamin Heft lights our chalice. We begin our worship service with a poem by Orlando Brignola titled House of Welcoming. Here, find a house of welcome. Here, find vision and hope. Here, be received as you truly are, unique and beautiful. Your journey acknowledged, your love honored. Let us rejoice together. Our first hymn is in the teal hymnal found at the end of your seats. And the first hymn is number 1008, When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place.
Mm-hmm.
For the responsive reading, please go to page 560 in this hymnal, the gray one that's in the rack. The reading is entitled Commitment, and it's from Dorothy Day. People say, what is the sense of our small effort? They cannot see that we may lay one brick at a time, take one step at a time. A pebble cast into a pond causes ripples that spread in all directions. Each one of our thoughts, words, and deeds is like that.
No one has a right to sit down and feel hopeless.
There's too much to work to do. Seated. We have been greatly blessed. Let us give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of this church. The morning's offering will now be given and received. Thank you.
I now invite the children to come forward. All right, just find a seat wherever you can. Now today in church, we're going to think about how people can see truth in different ways. So see if you can recognize in this story how messed up things can get when people think there's only one way to see the truth. This story comes from Africa a long, long time ago, about two farmers in their fields, each with his row to hoe. That's when God went walking down the road between, wearing one of his many hats, the one that's blue and green. The blue side, it was pointed east. The green side pointed west. And anyone who saw one side just plain couldn't see the rest. So one man saw the green side and one man saw the blue, looking at God's brand new hat from different points of view. And God just kept on strolling, enjoying the morning breeze, until he passed out of their view behind a clump of trees. That's when God started walking back, heading away from town. But just before he did that, he turned his hat around. So the man who saw the green side and the man who saw the blue saw the same side as before when God went walking through. And both men, having seen the God, they dropped their tools down and went a-running rapidly to tell the news in town. The one man said, "I've seen the God, and as proof of that, I can tell you honestly, he wears a bright green hat." The other man cried, "Heretic, that's not the way it is. God's hat is a lovely blue. I saw that hat of his." From having different viewpoints, each man knew he was right. And that's the basic reason why they had a nasty fight. They were screaming, punching, kicking, and rolling in the mud. The villagers were scared that soon they'd both be spilling blood. Just before some bones got broke, to everyone's surprise, God came into the village square and said, "Excuse me, guys." No one in the village had ever expected that. And lo, behold, upon God's head, he wore that selfsame hat. Then God explained that he didn't care if those two men fought. As God, he's far above such things. But he left them with this thought. While men are busy fighting, there's farming that's not done. And there's no chance to do a dance, and songs aren't getting sung. No children get their teaching, no artworks get produced. And while the herdsmen watch you fight, the flocks are running loose. What's more, I'm going to mention, since God is what I be, the number of the hats I wear can reach infinity. So fight on if you must, but let me warn you that I hope you've better things to do than argue about my hat. You can return to your seats now. Our readings today. The first is from Let Your Life Speak by Parker Palmer. As May Sarton reminds us, the pilgrimage toward true self will take time, many years, and places. The world needs people with the patience and the passion to make that pilgrimage not only for their own sake, but also as a social and political act. The world still waits for the truth that will set us free. My truth, your truth, our truth. The truth that was seeded in the earth when each of us arrived here formed in the image of God. Cultivating that truth, I believe, is the authentic vocation of every human being. And the second reading is from Swami Vivekananda. Our duty is to encourage everyone in the struggle to live up to his or her own highest ideal and strive at the same time to make the ideal as near as possible to the truth. And again, he says, truth can be stated in 1,000 different ways, yet each one can be true. It is now time to share any joys or sorrows you bring to church with you this morning. Please step to the microphone if you have something you would like to share.
Hi, I'm Lisa, and my husband Chris and I have been coming here since we moved in November, and we've been members since February. We found out Chris's aunt, Kathy, who's my favorite of his aunts, has thyroid cancer. She goes in this week to find out how bad it is, if it's spread, and what they can do about it. So if everybody could just pray for Aunt Kathy, thanks.
Let us create time now to be together in prayer and meditation. May we see in each other's eyes the blessing of trust, the beauty of respect, the peace of forgiveness, and the light of love. Let us hold in our hearts those who are struggling to find their way, those whose hearts are heavy, and those whose pain seems almost too hard to bear. Now we give this prayer in silence to all that is holy within us and within all of creation. Our next hymn is number 1028 in your teal hymnal. It's entitled The Fire of Commitment. Please rise as you're able. Thank you. magnet on my refrigerator that reads, "It is a blessing we were born. It matters what we do with our lives. What each of us knows about God is a piece of the truth. We don't have to do it alone." Unitarian Universalism. I think this is a good summary of what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. We must cherish our own inherent worth and dignity and remember that it is, indeed, a blessing we were born. We must remember that how we act, what we do to and for others, matters. Whether our actions are kind or unkind, loving or unloving, peaceful or not, they matter, and we are responsible for them. And because we are in a community of faith, we definitely do not have to do it alone. We support one another. We help each other learn. We help each other grow. We share our journeys. But what each of us knows about God as a piece of the truth is the basis for my own UU faith. Maybe it resonates with you as well. It reminds me of the concept of one light, many windows, which is the idea that there is one truth, but many windows through which to view it. What part of the light or God each of us sees is limited, yet it is a piece of the truth. My view shows me some light, but not all of it. And it is the same light you see from your own view. The shadows are different. The way the light plays off the glass is different. But the source remains the same. While it is really amazing that we appreciate and respect each other's views of the truth, what I find even more incredible is that we appreciate, respect, and even encourage one another when it becomes time to change, to move to a new window and look at truth from a new perspective. As we journey through life, there are many things that give us opportunities to move in such ways that lead us to look at the light differently. And each time we allow ourselves to be open to new ways of being, the communities we live in are also changed. Sometimes our new view is due to gathering more knowledge, a book, a movie, meditating, maybe learning about someone else's journey. And any life transition can help us move to a new window, the birth of a child, the death of a loved one, marriage, divorce, a new job, the loss of a job. In the book, Let Your Life Speak, Parker Palmer writes about some of the painfully difficult transitions in life from another perspective. He says, "Each time a door closes, the rest of the world opens up. All we need to do is stop pounding on the door that just closed, turn around, which puts the door behind us, and welcome the largeness of life that now lies open to our souls. The door that closed kept us from entering a room, but what now lies before us is the rest of reality." Sometimes we don't know. We can't identify what's changing, what's causing that ever so subtle shift within us. Sometimes, maybe often, we don't know ourselves as well as we would like to think we do. In her book, Left Neglected, Lisa Genova develops a character who was in a car accident and now suffers from a condition known as left neglect. Essentially, she is unaware of anything on her left, the left side of her body, as well as anything located to her left. She has difficulties with walking, reading, working, caring for her children. She works hard to manage these challenges so that she can regain some semblance of her life before the accident. She explains part of her struggle like this: "The first step in my recovery is to become aware of my unawareness, to constantly and repeatedly remind myself that my brain thinks it's paying attention to all of everything, but in fact, it's only paying attention to the right half of everything and nothing on the left." How many of us are unaware of important aspects of ourselves? How many times do we think we're paying attention to everything, only to realize later that there was more just beyond our view? Maybe we don't realize the impact of childhood experiences on our adult lives. Maybe we don't acknowledge our sexual or gender identities. Maybe we aren't aware of how our friends impact our view of the world. Maybe we are blind to those things in our character that we don't like. Sometimes it's easier to remain unaware because we are familiar with that view. But at some point, being unaware becomes painful. We begin to catch glimpses of the fact that we are not living up to our full potential. We are not living our own truth. Moving to a new window, to a new view of ourselves and the truth, is difficult, and it takes courage. The beauty of finding that courage and taking these difficult journeys is that they give us opportunities to grow, to recreate ourselves, to change the way we see the world. We can move to a different window and see the beauty of the light from a new perspective. Frederick Buchner writes, "Some journeys are direct and some are circuitous. Some are heroic, some are fearful and muddled. But every journey, honestly undertaken, stands a chance of taking us toward the place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need." At Campfest this year, I began to think yet again about our journey as a congregation during the past several years. I think our recent journey together has been all that Buchner describes, direct and circuitous, heroic and fearful, and sometimes muddled. And our journey has often led us to a place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need. In a way, it seems like yesterday, and in other ways, it seems like a lifetime ago. But in the spring of 2006, I finally decided to come out as bisexual here at church. I had been out in other areas of my life for 15 years at that point, but up until then, I was not sure it was safe here. Actually, even when I decided to come out, I still wasn't sure it was safe here. I was at a board meeting, and the talk around the table at the end of the meeting was about those people, gay people, as if no one in our congregation could possibly be gay. Finally, I had to say something. I was afraid. Afraid of losing my church home. Afraid of what they would think. But I did it anyway. There was silence. And then Gene Eaton, an elderly member at that time who has passed on since then, he said, "You know, we still love you, don't you?" So there was one big vote of confidence. Becky Green, our office administrator, who isn't even a member of our church, told me that she was glad I spoke up because it was about time someone did. No one else said anything to me. I still wasn't quite sure where I stood, but I wasn't quite as afraid anymore. Then, from the fall of 2006 through the spring of 2007, Kleber and I led a small but enthusiastic group of people through what's called the Welcoming Congregation Program. This is a program available through the Unitarian Universalist Association, which helps congregations become more welcoming to people who are not heterosexual. We learned more about LGBTQI issues, how to be allies, how to move from tolerance and acceptance of gay people to appreciation and nurturance. We shared what we learned with the congregation through poster presentations and words from the pulpit. The next step was for the congregation to vote at the annual meeting in May of 2007 on whether or not we wanted to become an official welcoming congregation. This would mean we would publicly state that as a community of faith, we support, include, welcome, encourage, and love people of all sexual orientations and gender identities. At that annual meeting, I was still scared. We had done good work. There was more support for gay people and more discussion of gay issues than ever in our congregation. But I still didn't know how the vote would go. This was personal. I needed the support of this congregation. I needed the love of these people. My fears began to dissolve with the unanimous vote in favor of becoming a welcoming congregation. The work had just begun. Linda Van Zandt led the charge to have us march in the St. Louis Pride Parade that year and every year since. Banners were made and hung on our banister outside saying such things as, "Laws don't make families, love makes families, and your family is welcome here." A supportive article was written by a reporter with the Alton Telegraph, and it appeared with a picture of our kids standing behind one of those banners. There was a lot of response online to that article, and though much of it came from people who I think were afraid and confused, some of it was encouraging. We as a congregation had moved to a new window and saw the light, the truth, from a different angle. We had grown, we had recreated ourselves, we became a beacon of love and support for people who had been disenfranchised, been turned away, been beaten down spiritually by other faith communities. For a long time, this church had only looked at the light from one small window. Now eyes were opened and hearts were filled with the truth and the light that comes from being willing to stretch outside of the proverbial comfort zone and into a new way of being. We had been transformed. The word of welcome spread, and the people started coming. Not just gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people, but also others who heard the message that all are welcome here. Sharing the journey is empowering. Personally, as I gained more knowledge about myself, I found one door closing and the rest of the world opening up when I came to realize that I wasn't bisexual, I was in fact a lesbian. And as I went through that transition of identity, this congregation supported me as it has supported so many others on their journeys. The transformation of this church could not have happened unless the individuals in the congregation were personally willing first to become aware of something that had been just beyond their view, then to look at their own truth with fresh eyes. Whether their individual movement was a slight shift or a more challenging climb, everyone had to reconsider how they now fit into their faith community. As a congregation, we've done this time and time again. This way of being in the world, this willingness to look at things anew and take action based on that new view, has become part of our congregational culture. Not every church is willing to feed those who are hungry, as well as commune with them and listen to them, but we are. Not every congregation is willing to invite people returning from prison into their church, but we are. I'm not saying that we're perfect by any means, and I certainly don't want us to rest on our laurels. We have room for improvement, and growth opportunities abound. But we continue to look at truth in new ways and to live through that truth into the light. Where we will go next, I don't know. But I am confident that we will work together so that our journey will keep leading us to a place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need. Because I know the individuals in this community are willing to walk together in faith into a world that needs our loving action. It helps to know that others are traveling their own paths and changing their own views, even though we are all on different journeys. Whatever difficulties you encounter along the way, remember that you have this community of people who are willing to walk with you. And remember that the journey is worth it. Because when you look for truth, from whatever perspective you have, the light of that truth begins to shine in you and through you. Remember, it is a blessing you were born. It matters what you do with your life. What you know about God is a piece of the truth, and you don't have to do it alone. Amen. Our next hymn is number 118 in our gray hymnal. It's entitled, This Little Light of Mine. Please rise as you're able. Thank you.
crucifixion in the words of Sarah Lambert.
Go in peace, embraced by the light and warmth of our gathering. Go in love, ready again to struggle on. Go in beauty, shining forth like a lamp for freedom. Amen.